Good evening, folks. I feel, there you go. Let's try it again. Good evening, folks. See, it just makes me feel so much better when I know you're awake, at least for the first 15 minutes that we're here. Joshua chapter 3 this evening. The river, I was going to entitle this one, The River of Impossibility, and I don't know what it says up there, but I changed it to the River of Possibility. Good, I'm glad I sent the right one. I think you'll see why once we get going. Have you ever tried to follow someone in traffic, like you're traveling to California, or you're going someplace, and they go, oh, just follow me. And you're doing everything you can to try to follow them, and you can't follow them. They get ahead of you, and they make these decisions like, I can make this red light. I know I can make this red light without considering the fact that they've asked you to follow them. And so, like at the very last minute, they're going through this yellow light, and you're thinking, how do they possibly think I'm going to be able to follow them? So they make the light, you don't, and you kind of just hope you can catch up, and they slow down a little bit or pull off, and then you catch up again, and then they do it again, except they do it with a lane change. You know, they slide in between a car here and a car here. They slide in. And of course, you can't slide in now because it's gone. So, you know, you can't get in. So now you're two cars behind and then three cars behind and four cars behind and five cars behind. Pretty soon you're like, you know, they're way out there ahead of you. And then they go through another yellow light and you're stopped again. You know, so have you ever done this? Has anybody ever experienced this besides me? It's very, very difficult to do. You got to watch every move they're making, don't you? You can't take your eyes off of them, because if you take your eyes off of them, they're gone. You know, you're lost. They're gone. If you take your eyes off of them, they're just gone. Let me use another one. Have you ever had a college professor or a teacher on any level, and you just can't keep up? It's like they're talking about something, and you're with them. You're with them most of the time. And then all of a sudden they get on something. You go, whoa, whoa, you want to go, you know, time out here. Am I the only one that's not getting this? You know, I'm not. And so you're at some, you stop them. You go, would you please explain it? So they're trying to put it on the wall. And, you know, they won't spend a lot of time doing it, because you're one student and they got 30. So you've just got to get it, right? You have to get it. But if you don't watch and listen to every move that they're making, you're lost. I had that happen to a college algebra class. You know, I was hanging on by the skin of my teeth to start with. And then after about 4 or 5 weeks, you know, evidently what I didn't know is they were going over the first few weeks for dummies. And then once they kicked into the full-blown thing, I was like, you know, I couldn't keep up with the class. So I ended up having to drop the class. Keeping your eyes on the Lord is something we've got to do our entire Christian walk. We cannot take our eyes off of it. If we get diverted, there is a danger of being lost. Now, you have heard me say many times already in our study of the book of Joshua that crossing the Jordan does not illustrate our passing into heaven, right? That has been something I hope that has been pretty clear. And we have said that the promised land is not heaven itself. But what I have not emphasized too much is the fact that it does illustrate that our lives should be led or lived in faith and obedience and in trust of the Lord instead of what lies on the other side of the Jordan, which is that wilderness. That wilderness is a life of living a life in the flesh. So even though crossing the Jordan, even though Canaan, even though the land of promise does not represent heaven, it does represent living our lives in faith, living our lives in obedience. Now, guys, some of us have a difficult time with this. We will do fine in the Lord for a few months. We'll do fine in the Lord for maybe even a few years. I've been in the faith long enough, and I've been a pastor here at Calvary Chapel Central long enough to see some of the people we love come and go. Seen them on fire with the Lord at one minute, and then you know, another time you look back and you ask somebody, where are they? And you always hope that they say, well, they're in fellowship somewhere. But quite often what you hear is that they're not in faith anywhere. They're not in fellowship anywhere. They're not going anywhere. We have talked about these two worlds, and what lies between these two worlds is a great river of difficulty, which we're going to see symbolized by the Jordan tonight. Crossing the Jordan at the time of year that the children of Israel need to cross, it was during the harvest season, and so therefore it was during flood season. So it was no small task. And yet, even with this formidable task that is before them, it really is the second most difficult task that they face. Guess what the first one was? The first and most difficult task in making a change is deciding that you're willing to make the change. They had to first decide that they were willing to even cross the Jordan. Now, getting across the Jordan is going to be another thing that they have to face. But first of all, they had to be willing to do it. So let me ask this. Are you willing tonight to cross the Jordan? Some of you are, yeah, you've been right from the beginning. You're going, hey, whatever it takes, I'm in. I'm willing to cross. That's what I want in the Lord. But there may be some of you that keep hearing this and you're going, well, that's what I'd like. That's what I want. I'd really like to do that. But are you willing? That's the first question you got to overcome. That's the first obstacle you got to overcome. Do I really want to live a life in Christ that is a life of faith, a life of nobility, a life of victory, a life of honesty, and a life of integrity? Well, the second one is this river. And before I go any further, let me make application, which I hope that I've already done. If you're going to live it, you got to make the changes. Change is not easy. But if you want it, you can't just wish for it. And I need to also say, make absolutely certain, there will no mistake here, that you will have your own Jordan. You will have your own river of difficulty. Because some of you may be sitting here and going, well, yeah, but Pastor, you don't know about my life. You don't know how hard my life is. You don't know what obstacles I face. You don't know who I'm married to. You don't know how my kids are. You don't know what my job is like. I can promise you this, no matter who you are, no matter who you're married to, no matter what your kids are like, no matter what kind of job you have, if you decide to press in close to God, you're still going to have your river of difficulty to overcome. It doesn't matter what stage of life you're in. But I want to promise you again, God's promised the victory to us. Father, as we come before you this evening, we ask in Jesus' name that you would do an amazing thing in our hearts and lives. Lord, as we study this book of Joshua, we really desire for you to do amazing things in our life, Lord. Shake us up. Cause us to see where we are and where we need to be. Cause us to see if we're not being the men of God that we should be, or the women of God that we should be, Lord, or even the children, the young adults that we need to be in the Lord, show us, Lord. But again, the first obstacle is being willing for you to show us, to face it head on and accept the fact that maybe we need some changes. And then, Father, I ask that in tonight's teaching, you'll show us that crossing the Jordan, as difficult as it might be, may be much easier than we think. So fill us with your word tonight, Lord, and fill us with faith and fill us with the Holy Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and he and all the sons of Israel set out from Shittim. Shittim actually means acacia tree. So they set out from this city, Shittim, and came to the Jordan, and they lodged there before they crossed. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the midst of the camp. Remember the 3 days? God always has a plan. He used those 3 days to save Rahab and her family, for her to commit herself, for her to commit her family, for her to save her family. So at the end of these 3 days, the troops are mobilized. They go through the troops. They call them all. Remember, guys, Again, the estimates are at least 2 million. Some people estimate that there were more than 2 million people, but at a minimum, there were 2 million people in this camp on this side of the Jordan, and it is no small task to get them mobilized. We've talked before just trying to get your own family mobilized, getting them to church, getting them to the store, getting them to the doctor, getting them home. No small task with 2 million people, you can imagine. Look at verse 3. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord, your God, and the Levitical priests carrying it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. When you see it, then you shall go. So there's 2 million people facing this river of impossibility. You're not alone. A lot of times we think, you know, I'm in this all by myself, but the reality of it is, guys, every Christian is in the same place. One of the things we're trying to establish in the men's Bible study, in the Champions for Christ, and that is, so many times, I think Christians in general, but I know guys, think that they're the only ones with these problems. They're the only ones facing these issues. They're the only ones with these temptations. They're the only ones that maybe don't have it all together in their marriage. They're ones that don't have it all together in their Christian walk. They're the ones that maybe are not praying as much as they should. They don't have the devotional life. The reality of it is, guys, every man faces the same obstacles. Ladies, every woman faces the same obstacles. And Christians, we face the same obstacles. 2 million people represent that this is widespread. And crossing the Jordan is something we all have to do. So how are they going to get past it? How do you get past all these? But Pastor, you don't know. Well, I would be the man of God if my wife would just straighten up. I'd be the woman of God if my kids would straighten up. I would be a man of God if the people at work would just do what they're supposed to be. You know, I could do this if there was nobody else in the world. You know, I could do this. How do you get past all of those? Well, did you notice what he said? When you see the Ark of the Covenant, move. When you see the Ark of God, move. So here's the first one, guys. Follow the Ark. Now, the ark here is representative of the Lord. So he says, when you see the ark, go after it. That seems so simple, doesn't it? When you see the ark of God, go after him. When you see the ark of God, don't go to the left. Don't go to the right. Don't turn around this way. Don't turn around that way. Don't chase something else. Don't chase other things. When you see the ark of God, pursue him. Go after him, follow him, keep an eye on him. Just like when you're in that traffic and you're trying to follow the other individual, if you don't keep an eye on him, you're going to get lost. You're going to fall behind. So when you see the ark of the Lord, get going and get started. Now, I could make a whole lot more applications about Jesus, but I'm going to refrain for a moment because he gives them a bit of further instruction. So look at verse 4. However, there shall be between you and it, the ark, a distance of about 2,000 cubits by measure. That's 1,000 yards. You got 2 million people that need to keep an eye on the same thing. They need to be able to see what's going on. It's going to take a little bit of a distance for them to be able to all focus on the ark. So do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. Now, isn't the whole idea for you and I that we want to move into territory that we don't know? Don't we want to go into a new place with God? Don't we want to explore new territory with God so that we're changed men and women? Well, how are we going to know where to go? How are we going to know the path? Well, the ark was there to guide them to victory and safety. You know what, guys? There's so many times I don't know which way to go. Am I alone? How many times a day do you go, Lord, I don't know what to do. Lord, I don't know what to say. Lord, I don't know how to act. Lord, I don't know how to react. Lord, I don't know if I should call. I don't know if I shouldn't call. Lord, I don't know if I should encourage. I don't know if I should exhort. Lord, I don't know how to do anything. Lord, what am I supposed to do? They had not been that way before, but notice, if they did the right thing, it didn't matter. If they followed the procedure that God gave to them, it didn't matter because the safety was in the ark. They were safe in the ark. They were safe if they kept their eyes on the ark. So this instruction here to stay 1,000 yards away so they could keep an eye on the ark would put them exactly where they needed to be because the ark would lead them where they needed to be. Now, application in my life is, how simple is that? All I've got to do is keep my eyes on the Lord. All I have to do is admit once in a while, I don't know what to do. All I have to do is say, God, I don't know what to be, what to do, and I need you to show me what to do. I don't know what to be either. And show me what to be and how to be. I don't know how to do this, God. Would you please show me? How could it be more simple? Could a life of faith and obedience be as simple as just keeping our eyes on God? Keeping our eyes on the ark of God and just going where he goes and doing what he does? Verse 5 and 6. Then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Yeah, consecrate means dedicate, purify yourselves. Get ready for this. You're starting a spiritual work. Get ready for that. And God will do wonders among you. And Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross ahead of the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and they went ahead of the people. May seem simple, but notice this. Where is the Ark in location to the people? Behind them? Beside them? A foot ahead, 5 feet ahead. The Ark of the Covenant is 1,000 feet ahead of the people. The people are not ahead of the Ark. Now, again, it seems simple, but how many times do we get ahead of God? God, I want you to work this thing out at my job, Lord. Show me whether or not I'm supposed to get a promotion. Lord, show me if I'm supposed to change jobs. 3 days later, God, where are you at? Am I supposed to change jobs? Am I supposed to keep my job? Lord, do you have a promotion for me? A week later, God, where are you at? 2 weeks later, we're going, okay, God hasn't answered, so I need to quit my job. Oh, many have done it. Or 3 weeks later, you know, God hasn't answered, so I'm going to buy the new car anyway. God hasn't given me a definite no, so I'm going to marry him anyway. I know 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever, but, you know, I don't think that means me because they're really nice and they have some Christian background and I know I can change them and I know they'll get saved. I know we can afford the car. We'll just sell one of the kids. We can make it. You know, we can do it. We can make it happen. We can make it happen. When we get ahead of the ark, we can't see the ark. And if we get ahead of the ark, we can't see the ark. And if we cannot see the ark, we cannot follow the ark. And if we can't follow the ark, we're going to get lost. It's kind of like that first illustration, driving down the freeway. You lose sight of them, right? Well, what you don't realize is they're in the lane over next to you. But there's four cars in all directions, and you get ahead of them. And now all of a sudden, you're trying to follow the car behind you. Make sense? So many times in life, we're trying to follow the car behind us. You keep speeding up thinking you lost them, right? If you can't see them, surely you've lost them, so you have to keep speeding up. And the whole time you're speeding up, they're lagging further behind. So the hurrier you go, the behinder you get, right? Perhaps this 1,000-yard rule is a pretty good rule for all of us. You guys have heard me say that the Christian life should be like a long extension cord, not a battery, right? In other words, we should always stay connected. Well, at 1,000 feet, that's a pretty long extension cord, or 1,000 yards, that's a pretty long extension cord, but the reality of it is we're still connected. He's still out front where he should be, and we're still connected following close behind. But so many Christians run their life like a battery charge. They come in on Wednesday, Tuesday, Sunday, and they get a battery charge, and then they take off. And what happens? You find them out on the spiritual highway somewhere. Battery's dead. You see, we always have to stay in sight. I also think, guys, that there's an application here. It's a good rule for spiritual leaders. Now, when I say spiritual leaders, please don't shut your switch off. If you are a Christian, you are a spiritual leader, because there's people at your work that are not Christians, and you are either leading them closer to the Lord or further away. So you are a spiritual leader. If you're a mom or a dad, you're a spiritual leader. You're leading your kids either to Christ or further away. And you might even be some other kind of spiritual leader in the church. So I think this is still a good rule for spiritual leaders. How? Don't get so far ahead of the people that you're leading that they can't follow you. As I was a young husband and father, God gave me, he puts pictures in my head. I don't know about for you guys, but he sometimes puts pictures in my head, and he gives me illustrations in pictures. And the picture was me in a jungle with one of the machetes. It was my job as the leader of my home to take that machete and clear out a path. Clear out a path so I can take them into the promised land or into the Holy of Holies or wherever else it is where God dwells. But you know what we can do sometimes? We can have our head down, plowing out the cane and the leaves and making a path, and we realize a little bit later that we left our family somewhere a couple miles back. And the Lord said, John, clear out about 20 feet and go back and get your family and bring them up. And clear out about another 20 feet and go back and get your family and bring them with you. And clear out more and get your family and bring them with you. We need to not get so far ahead of the people that we're leading that they cannot follow us. Stop once in a while and bring them up with you. They have to be able to keep you in sight, just like we need to be able to keep the Lord in sight. Remember this, guys. What is the goal here? Getting to the promised land or getting the people to the promised land? Isn't it both? The goal here is not just for Joshua to go to the promised land. The goal is for these 2 million people to make it to the promised land. So if you're involved in leadership in any way, remember, stay ahead, but not too far ahead. And don't forget to go back and get the people that you're leading, even if that's your children. Verse 7, now the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all of Israel, that they may know that just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. And you shall moreover command the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. Then Joshua said to the sons of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will assuredly dispossess from before you the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Hivites, the Perizzite, the Girgashite, the Amorite, and the Jebusite. Behold, the ark of the covenant of God, or the Lord, of all the earth is crossing over ahead of you into the Jordan. Now then, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from each tribe, and it shall come about when the soles of the feet of the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord your God, the Lord of all the earth, and they rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan will be cut off, and the waters which are flowing down from above will stand in one heap. In other words, the priests, you grab the Ark of the Covenant, you go stand in the Jordan, and as soon as your feet touch the Jordan, just like the Red Sea, you guys, for a little time in Disneyland, they had the Red Sea ride, right? They used plexiglass, but you get a little bit of the idea. The water just stopped flowing down the river. It just stopped here, and then it stopped down further. It just completely cut off. I want you to notice two things that the priests were instructed to do before the people could cross the Jordan. Number one, when you come to the edge of the waters, you shall stand still in the Jordan. Number two, the soles of the feet of the priests were to rest in the waters of the Jordan. I want you to notice first that the instruction was given to who? Not the people. The instruction was given to the priests. As some of us began the deeper life of faith, this is really important, guys. If you haven't heard anything else I've said, at least write this one down. As we begin the deeper life of faith, we got to remember that the spiritual life must precede everything else. Priests represented the spiritual life. Here's where we get into trouble. And I want to be careful how I say this, because I don't want to make anyone feel bad for doing what they have to do. We have to live in this world. We have to make a living. We have to take care of our family. And we have to be good stewards of what God's given to us. We have to do those things. But if we're not careful, because those are so tangible, we will begin to put those in the wrong place. And instead of our spiritual life being that which is out front, that which goes first, that which touches the Jordan first, it's all of these other things. Constant struggle. But let me tell you this, it is not just your struggle. It is every one of our struggles. We all struggle with this. This is common to Christians. Letting the cares of the world and all the things that eat at us and squeak at us and yell at us and demand our time and attention, letting them become the priority and letting our spiritual life be second. Even second. Second's pretty high, isn't it? Not good enough. Spiritual life has to remain first. Because, guys, it is our spiritual life that will give meaning and instruction to the rest of our life. You see, so many times as Christians, we're running around saying, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know how. I don't know what. I don't know how to. Let me back up. We're running around saying, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do this. I don't know. But it's not God we're asking. We're running around frustrated. We're running around feeling like we're losing all the time. We're running around feeling like we're behind all the time. We're running around feeling like we're losing the battle. But we're trying to cross the Jordan, this river of impossibility. We're trying to cross it on our own. We're out building dams and getting a construction force in there and backing in trucks and trailers and trying to figure out how to stop the water so we can get across. And the Lord's saying, all you got to do is put your spiritual life first, and I'll stop the water. Notice that the priests were to stand still. You got to stand still once in a while to give God a chance to work. Why is it so hard to stand still? You ever met people who couldn't stand still? Like your kids when they're little, they can't stand still. You just want to say, we used to have contests when the kids were little, and I would say, you know what? I just want to see who can do this. Which one of you can just sit down there and say nothing and do nothing? Now, it was selfishly motivated, I have to tell you. But it was a game, and I just wanted to see how long they could last. And it was like, you can predict it. You can predict it. It's going to last, what, 3 minutes tops. But sometimes, we're the same way as adults. We can't just stand still and give God a chance to work. Guys, if we could learn to stand still and watch God work, keep our eyes on Him, let Him do what He said that He will do, keep a good focus on Him, follow Him, and let Him do what He said He would do, we would have a whole lot less work to do. And crossing the Jordan wouldn't be a river of impossibility. It becomes a river of possibility. Because what is impossible with you and I is nothing for God. Last point here with the priests, they actually had to get in the water. They actually had to get in the water. It wasn't until their feet actually touched the water that it was held back. When they got in the water was held back. And it wasn't because of their Nikes. But listen to this. It was because their Nikes were attached to feet, that were attached to bodies, that were attached to arms, that were attached to hands, that were attached to the Ark of the Covenant. You see the connection? It had so little to do with them except for obedience. It had everything to do with the object of their faith. And that was the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of God. Back to our illustration. You got to stay connected. If you lose the connection, there's no power. The power is in the Ark, not in you and not in me, not in our formula. And I'm going to say something here that might freak you out. The power is not even in your prayers. Pastor, what are you saying? Well, you can pray to a lamppost and it ain't going to make any difference. Power is not in prayers. Power is in the God connected to the prayers. The power is in God and in God alone. Verses 14 through 16. So when the priests set out from their tents to cross the Jordan, with the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and when those who carried the Ark came into the Jordan, and the feet of the priests carrying the Ark were dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all of its banks during the days of harvest. The waters which were flowing down from above stood and rose up in one heap, a great distance away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan, and those which were flowing down towards the sea of Araba and the Salt Sea were completely cut off, so the people crossed opposite Jericho. Well, what do you know? What do you know? They end up crossing the Jordan exactly where they needed to be, which was opposite Jericho. Now, I wonder what they would have done if they would have tried to just cross on their own. The odds are pretty good they would have got swept away by the water and ended up way down in one of those cities that were mentioned. Hundreds of miles, if not thousands of miles from Jericho. Maybe some of us here tonight jumped in the water without God. And we've ended up 1,000 miles from where we need to be. Maybe out of the will of God, maybe in sin. So how do you get back? You find the Lord again, keep your eyes on Him, and start following Him again. It's just that simple. God loves us and God forgives. When you and I end up doing what we're supposed to do, keeping our eyes on Him, we end up exactly where we need to be. So guys, whatever river of impossibility you're facing tonight, if you'll keep your eyes on the Lord, it becomes a river of possibility. Whatever it is that you're looking at and you're going, I don't know how I'm going to overcome this. I don't know how this is going to happen. I just can't possibly see. That's exactly what they were facing. They're looking at the Jordan going, how are we going to do this? Well, in your flesh, you can't. But God can. Verse 17, and the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm, on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, while all of Israel crossed on dry ground until all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan. Crossing the Jordan. Well, you can't get it, and you can't get there without the Lord. We can't do it in the flesh. Now, here's something that's really important too, guys. How many times in New Year have you decided you're going to get up and have a devotional life and it lasted a week or two? How many times have you decided you're going to pray more? How many times have you decided you're going to be more this or you're going to be more than that? And it just lasts what? How long? Month or two, 3 months? How many times have men said, I need to be a better husband, I need to be a better dad, and it lasts for what? A week? How many wives have said, I need to be a better wife, I need to be a better Christian, and it lasts only a short time? Because the reality of it is, we try to do all those things without letting God go ahead of us. And we set out in the process of it, and we get so frustrated because it just becomes a law. It's just a work. It's just something that you beat yourself up over because you failed at that again too. I firmly believe that God doesn't want us to do more of anything. He wants us to do less. Well, Pastor, you've been talking about being holy. Pastor, you've been talking about stepping up into this new life. Yes, I have. But you got to step into the arms of the Lord. Just like the priest, he will go ahead of us. We got to put our spiritual life first. Now, this story in Joshua sure gives new meaning to this. Let me read something to you out of Isaiah. When I found this today in view of Joshua, I thought, man, that's just so cool. Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. Isaiah 43:2. Whole new meaning. You and I can't do any of those on our own. But we can do them in the Lord. And they found that with God all things are possible. Okay, I want to read to you in closing another prayer of Tozer's from the Pursuit of God. O Lord, I have heard a good word inviting me to look away to Thee and be satisfied. My heart longs to respond, but sin has clouded my vision till I see Thee but dimly. Be pleased to cleanse me in Thine own precious blood and make me inwardly pure so that I may with unveiled eyes gaze upon You. Gaze upon Thee all the days of my earthly pilgrimage. Then shall I be prepared to behold Thee in full splendor in the day when Thou shalt appear to be glorified in Thy saints and admired in all them that believe.